Almost time. Well, let's open with prayer and we'll get started this morning. Father, again, we thank you for the freedom and the privilege and the opportunity to come together. And again, Lord, as we open your word, I pray that we are teachable. And Father, the things you teach us, that we think on those things. And Lord, that we're doers of those things you teach us, that we might be that godly people you desire. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to study your word. And again, Father, I just pray that we honor you, that you're glorified through what's said and done here today. And I thank you for each one here. And again, Lord, I just pray that we have a hunger and a thirst for holiness and righteousness and to know you, Father, above all, that you're the passion of our life. Thank you again, Father, for just our time together. And I just pray, Lord, that you're honored. And we just pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, we started to look at Proverbs, and I'm not going to go through verse by verse expositionally to study each verse of Proverbs, but we want to look at to teach topics that Proverbs deals with, issues of life, the wisdom and work and pride and speech and family life and the use of money and things like this that Proverbs addresses. The word proverb, just a quick review, it means to be like, literally. Thus, it's a book of comparisons. Proverbs are moral statements that teach realities of life. And Solomon taught God's wisdom and to live by that wisdom. And we looked at that. You know, Proverbs contains really a wealth of biblical theology for just practical righteousness. The promises of Proverbs are that the wise, and the wise referring to the righteous who obey God, but the wise will enjoy or experience joy, goodness of God, and even prosperity, while fools, will probably suffer shame. And you know, we started to, in our introduction to that, to look at that, and we asked the question, what is wisdom? And, you know, wisdom, true wisdom, it begins with God. You know, we see God's definition of wisdom in Job 28:28, and again it says there, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." You know, this verse describes basically saving faith, both fearing God and departing from evil that take place at salvation. We begin to be wise when we fear God by trusting in him and repenting of our sin. That's the beginning of wisdom. And, you know, human wisdom is in contrast with divine wisdom. You know, we often have a tendency to look first at man's wisdom and ignore the sufficiency of God's wisdom that we find in the scripture. There's much today to distract our thinking to worldly philosophies and methodologies and that in reality divert us away from the Word of God and from God's wisdom. You know, we have that constant conflict between human wisdom and God's wisdom. You know, only in Scripture can we find the true source of wisdom that can satisfy really the needs of the human heart. And so, you know, when we study Proverbs, we will see that there is a way of the wise and the way of the fool. There is the way of righteousness and the way of wickedness. There is the way of the Lord and really the way of the world. And so, you know, often in Proverbs, it's kind of an either this or that. It tells us about the need we have for God's wisdom and the need to be careful about being a fool. And so, you know, in all this, that was the introduction, where you ask the question, what is wisdom? And so we do not get wisdom apart from the Word of God. You know, God desires us to come to his Word, to read it, and to live by it. That is wisdom. And so now I ask the question, how do we know when we have God's wisdom? How do we know that? You know, we will just look at a few proverbs to affirm that we have the wisdom of God. We are wise when we understand our accountability to God for everything we think, say, and do. That's wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You see, when we fear the Lord, we sense an accountability to Him. You know, that's the beginning of wisdom. We sense an accountability to the Lord. You know, Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And so to know God is all important when we're thinking about wisdom. To know God is all important. That's the beginning of wisdom. And then, you know, in Proverbs 15:33, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor," and some translation says, "before blessing comes humility." You know, when we humbly bow before God and ask Him what He wants us to do, when we seek God's purpose for our life, that's wisdom. You know, whatever we think, say, or do, we're accountable to God. And this is the beginning of wisdom. And so we know we are wise, and we get wiser by receiving more godly information. Proverbs 9:9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning." You know, the point is, a wise person desires more instruction from the Lord. When we are confronted with being wrong about something, you know, we should be grateful to receive godly instruction, really, to correct us. You know, a fool sticks to by what he has said, even when there is evidence to show him that he's wrong. And so when we have a wrong thinking, when we gain more instruction or information that we are wrong, we ought to change our view, especially when it's in relation to the Word of God. You know, a wise person will learn and grow in God's Word, and that is wisdom. You know, Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days." You know, listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. I thought a lot about this. You know, some older people are not wise because they're not listening to godly counsel. You know, age does not assure and produce godly wisdom. You know, and one of the saddest things I think in life is to see an older person that is still foolish. You know, there's no honor in being old and being foolish. You know, ultimately there is plenty of old people who are really acting foolish because they have not followed the way of the Lord. Many have forsaken the way of the Lord and in old age, because they have not sought God's wisdom for their life, they have become foolish. You know, the older we get, really the wiser we should be in the ways of the Lord. You know, we should be that example of wisdom the older we get. You know, we should keep learning and never feel we've arrived. Older people are a treasure when they walk in the wisdom of the Lord. I treasure that. You know, when I was, I often have valued and sought the wisdom of older godly men. You know, however, most of them have passed on. And so now we ought to be that older, wiser people. Older godly people, really, they are. They're a treasure to the church. But just being old does not make us wise. And so the point is, we need to be wise in the ways of the Lord. That should be our desire, that we not be satisfied where we are, that we grow in wisdom and know the Lord. You know, Proverbs 10:14 says, "Wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at a hand." You know, we're not to stop learning and growing in the ways of the Lord. You know, we're to be wise. We're wise when we continue to learn and seek the Lord's purposes. We're wise when we're controlled by the way we speak also, by the way we talk. That gives evidence of our wisdom. You know, we're going to deal with that more later in a topic of speech, but, you know, we will, you know, they're here. We will deal with a few of those passages in Proverbs that illustrate wisdom in the way that we speak, in the way that we talk. And we dealt a lot with that when we studied James. But, you know, Proverbs 10:19 says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. You know, the idea here is that the chance of saying something wrong, think about this, the chance of saying something wrong increases with the volume of your words. You know, we are not to speak just endless verbiage. We're to be wise when we speak, but also we're wise when we restrain our words. We need to speak what is appropriate, not just babbling on. You see, Proverbs 11:12 says, he who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding, he keeps silent. Again, this is literally saying that we're not to gossip or to slander or to destroy with our words. If we have an issue with somebody, a wise person knows how to control what he says and maybe even be silent in this verse. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. You know, a friend of mine, and I think I discussed that earlier when we studied James, a friend of mine would say, it is better to remain silent and let people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. But that's really what he's saying here. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. And so we need to be controlled and to think about what we are saying. That's the idea. What are we saying? What's the motives of our heart? We need to be sure that God's word is controlling what we are saying, what we are speaking. We need to be controlled to think about what we're saying by the word of God. You know, Proverbs 16:21 says, the wise in heart will be called understanding, and the sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. You know, we are wise when we're discerning with our speech. When we say something that is discerning and gives understanding, that's wisdom. The wise person understands that the way they say something is really very important to the ability of the person listening to it, that they would accept it. The way we speak makes it believable. And so it says sweetness of speech, understanding, and the sweetness of speech. In the Hebrew, it's mafek safa, which means pleasant speech. Our speech should be pleasant. Or honeyed words, it literally means. You know, it refers to intelligent and discernment in our speech. Our speech should be edifying and building up and honeyed words. You know, the wise person is able to communicate with intelligent speech and that he's understood. That's wisdom. You know, the wise in heart will be called understanding, it says. And so understanding, in the Hebrew, it's bina, and it's translated prudent. The wise in heart will be called prudent, it could be said. You know, it refers to being wise and living a godly life. That's prudence. Are you wise in living a godly life? You know, do you have discretion? Referring to being reserved in your speech, you see? That's wisdom. Proverbs 10:13 says, on the lips of the discerning, and some translation says on the lips of understanding or the prudent, wisdom is found. But on the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found. You know, wisdom is found on those who have understanding and discernment and understand God's word and live by that. When they speak, it portrays wisdom. It communicates wisdom is the idea. You know, Proverbs 14:6 says, a scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to the one who has understanding. You see, a scoffer is one who basically mocks or disregards or ignores God's truth because to them they don't seek this wisdom. They don't seek wisdom. They don't find wisdom. And so knowledge is easy for one of who seeks God's understanding and his discernment. Proverbs 14:33 says, wisdom rests in the heart of one who has understanding. And again, prudence or discernment. But in the hearts of fools it is made known. This is interesting. It says it rests, wisdom rests in the heart of one who has understanding. You know, wisdom is in the hearts of those who have God's understanding, and it's applied to their life. You see, it's applied to their life. They live by God's wisdom. But the foolish, really those who do not have God's wisdom, that's a foolish person, are quick to express their ignorance. That's what this is saying. Notice it says wisdom rests in the heart of those who have understanding. You know, the issue is that you do not share wisdom. You don't share wisdom so that people will think that you are wise. That's not the motive, is to make yourself look wise. You don't share it for that reason. We are to be discerning even when we share wisdom. That we're not to do so as to basically to elevate ourselves. That's not the point. You know, we are wise when we know how to say things so that those listening are aware that we need wisdom just as much as they do. And so it's the heart of humility. When we share wisdom, it's about concern for their wisdom and their well-being. It's not to elevate ourselves. It's a spirit of humility. But you do it for God's wisdom, and you share God's wisdom for that purpose. When we look at Proverbs, we see that it's filled with God's wisdom. That's what we see in Proverbs. But wisdom is an attribute of God, and it should be valuable above all. We should desire wisdom. We can only get true wisdom, and again, we can only get true wisdom from the Lord. You know, in our introduction, when we talked about wisdom, we just looked at a few passages of the importance of wisdom for living the Christian life. But we need to learn, and we will learn about applying wisdom for specific issues of living a godly life as we study on. You know, but before we move to the specific topics, we need to look at a contrast between wise and being fool and living a foolish life. Often in Proverbs, it's just that contrast between wise and being a fool. You see that many, many times. You know, Proverbs has many statements that contrast and really are antithetical to each other. Being wise or being a fool is really central in the teaching. You know, in Proverbs, there are many statements that illustrate either the way of the Lord or the way of Satan, the way of righteousness, or really the way of sin, the way of wisdom, or the way of fools. And so these two serve as the foundation for really understanding Proverbs. You know, if we want to know what wisdom is, then it is learning how to walk with God and stay away from sin. We're to be wise and not foolish. You know, Proverbs is a book that really any student of the Word ought to study and apply to their life. You know, Proverbs challenges us as we read it and study it. You know, when we go through that, everything, we see so much there that, wow, that challenges my thinking. If we have lived long enough and messed up our life not by walking with the Lord, Proverbs really gives us understanding as to why this has happened. There is a sense of hope in Proverbs. It increases our faith as Proverbs gives us clear teaching on if we're willing to listen and to apply it to our life. Proverbs 1:7, back when we read that last week, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so, you know, we see that contrast again between wise people and foolish people. And so Proverbs challenges us to think on these things. You know, I was thinking about that. In Luke 12, there's a parable there about the fool, but it describes a foolish person that even the book of Proverbs illustrates often. You know, in Luke 12, and I want to read that to you because I know you're familiar with that, but this is the parable, remember, of that rich fool. In Luke 12, starting in verse 13, and I want you to notice as I read this, how many times he says, I. Someone in the crowd said to him, Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide my family inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who appointed me as judge or arbitrator over you? Then he said to them, beware, and be of your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of this of his possessions. And he told them this parable, saying, the rich land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years, and come, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, and here's a foolish person, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. You see what the issue of foolishness is there? They store up treasures for themselves rather than toward God. That's foolishness. This fool is one who lays up treasure for himself. And you know, self is all important, and it is one who is all concerned about the goodies of life, and somehow sustain it or fill, you know, he does that to sustain or fulfill the dissatisfactions he has in life. The fool is one who cannot see the purpose of God, and they do not depend upon God and cannot see what he does and who he is. That's the foolishness of not depending upon God. They do not seek God or his purposes. That's a foolish thinking. And so, I was just thinking about that. What are some of the practices in Proverbs that identify a fool? We see a lot of that in Proverbs, but what are some of those? And I just picked a few. Of course, there's many. But you know, a fool treats sin lightly. You know, Proverbs 10:23 says, doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. Doing wickedness is like sport, it says. You know, there's no reluctance about sin. It's sport to him. They made sport of doing all kinds of evil. It's just made sport. They enjoy their sin. Proverbs 13:19 says, desire realized or desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools who turn away from evil. The point is here, a foolish person does not want to get away from evil. They don't want to get away from sin. They want to keep their sin and enjoy it. You know, the desire of obedience to God is sweet to the soul of the wise, but to the fool who loves his sin will never realize the blessing of the Lord through obedience to him. It's foolishness to him. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. Among the upright there is good favor in some translations. It is a characteristic of a foolish person to mock at issues of sinfulness and to treat it lightly, to disregard sin in their life and just to think it matters not. You know, we see this in Ecclesiastes 5:1, and this is also written by Solomon. But in Ecclesiastes 5:1, it says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God, and draw near to listen rather than to offer a sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they are doing evil. For they do not know they are doing evil. You see, fools treat sin lightly. They stay involved in their sin. and mock it by not thinking the issue of sin is severe as the scriptures teach us, as God thinks of it. You know, this is a characteristic of a fool. They mock sin. They mock God, and they think lightly of sin. You know, another thing, a fool practices deceit and lying. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the sensible is to understand his way, but the foolishness of fools is deceit. The foolishness, you know, the foolish make no real effort to have a clear understanding and to accurately understand truth, but rather they deceive, is what it's saying. They're deceiving. You know, the wisdom of the sensible is to understand, but the way of the foolish fools is deceit. A foolish person is deceives, and they think of deceit. Proverbs 15:7 says, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of the fools are not so. You see, wisdom spreads knowledge, but the hearts of the fool, it is not so. The wise desire knowledge, and they desire to share it, but the fool does not even want others to know the truth. They don't desire that. The hearts of the fools are not so to spread knowledge. Proverbs 17:7 says, excellent speech is not fitting for a fool, but much less are lying lips to a prince. You see, the point is here, a prince, it's not very good for them to be lying, but excellent speech is not fitting for the fool either. You know, fools are not known for speaking well and accurately. And are known for lying and deceit. But again, it's saying these are the practices of a fool, that they're deceitful and they lie. You know, a fool gets into, another one, a fool gets into arguments easily. Proverbs 18:6 says, listen to this, a fool's lips bring strife and his mouth calls for blows. You know, one way to identify a foolish person is how quickly he gets into arguments. You know, they're not trying to prevent arguments. Rather, they try to start them. Often, they do not, they do this to really prove their, what, their own supposed superior knowledge. They're argumentative. It's a lack of humility. Which is an evidence of pride, you know, but they make almost every conversation an argument. I don't know if you've ever run into somebody like that. How can you, you know, somebody that makes every statement or everything you do or everything you say, and they make it into an argument. You know, and why would they do that? You know, Proverbs 23 says, keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. You see, again, some just love to argue. But the Bible says that's the way a fool walks and talks. You see? You know? Another thing, fools harbor anger and resentment. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. It says a fool's anger is known at once. At once we can recognize a fool by his anger. That's a characteristic of a foolish person. They're angry. But a wise person has self-control and really he conceals his dishonor, referring to ignoring an insult. You see, a foolish person, they're full of anger. You know, we see the same thinking in Proverbs 14:29. It says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered, and that means impulsive, exalts folly. And again, folly there refers to one who lacks good sense or foresight. And so he who is slow to anger has understanding, but he who is quick-tempered lacks foresight. He lacks sense. And so a fool lacks good sense because he's quick-tempered. They're angry. You know, and this is a characteristic of a foolish person. They're just angry about everything. Proverbs 27:3 says, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but the provocation, or wrath, could be said, of a fool is heavier than both of them. The point is, a fool is known for his anger, and he's known for his resentment. And he often explodes at the most unexpected times. They're just angry. There's a passage in Ephesians, and we're familiar with that. In Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Be angry and yet do not sin." You know, the point is, there is a righteous anger, which is always directed at what is wrong and sinful, especially against God. But unrighteous anger is toward people. And for that, God says to be slow to anger. And we learned that in James 1:19. Be slow to anger. But a fool is, he's just outright angry. And so a fool is not slow to get angry. A fool is filled with, he's basically full of anger and resentment. They're angry and they're resentful about the things of life. But another characteristic, and this is one that we're going to especially deal with in a whole different topic and issue, but pride characterizes a fool. You know, Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man, he who listens to counsel." A wise man is he who listens to counsel. But a way of a fool is right in his own eyes. They're prideful. You know, fools believe that they're basically always right. The fool claims to be right even when matters aren't even clear. Some things are clear and right on the basis of Scripture, but some issues in life are not always like that. Some issues are kind of gray as to what's right and wrong. Some issues are debatable and can be discussed for hours, and you still don't come up with maybe the right answer. But a foolish person always knows that they're right. They're right all the time. Their pride will not let them gain understanding, is what this says. Because they're so prideful, they don't listen. They won't gain understanding. You know, because of pride, a fool does not respond to reproof. You know, Proverbs 17:10 says, "A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool." You see, reproof to one who is wise, it goes deep into their thinking. They're teachable, and they desire to respond to that rebuke. But often when you confront or give instruction to a foolish person, especially if you're using the Word of God, they do not listen or respond to that reproof and nor that correction. And oftentimes they even get angry because you confront them with the Word of God. It angers them. They don't respond to reproof. A foolish person won't listen to correction. But a wise person will take that and listen to it and try to improve. You know, Proverbs 23:9 says, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." It's pretty amazing. Because foolish people hate wisdom. We learned that back in Proverbs 1:22. We have to be careful how we talk to them, because how we speak in the hearing of a fool, because it says in our text here, they will not listen. You know, we have to remember that only God can change a heart. And sometimes if we just beat on them, it doesn't make a difference. You know, Proverbs 27:22 says, "Though you pound a fool with a mortar and pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will depart from him," will not depart from him. You see, sometimes we think we can force a person into wisdom. You know, we'll just beat it into them. That we can knock the foolishness out of them and get wisdom of God into them. You know, the sad thing is parents often think this way with their children. You know, the Bible teaches otherwise. If we grind a person up with a mortar and pestle, they are not going to get wisdom unless it comes from the Lord, right? And so our direction is to pray for a foolish person that the Lord would change his heart. We can't beat it into somebody. We need to pray for them that God would change their heart and seek wisdom and revere him as they should. Also, a foolish person, they trust in their own heart. And we've kind of led to that a little bit. They trust in their own heart. They trust in their own thinking. You know, the world has given a fool the message that he should trust his own feelings. We've heard that a lot, haven't we? Trust your feelings. Proverbs 28:25-26 says, "An arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered." You see, a fool trusts in his own feelings, in his own heart. Again, we see that contrast here. You know, the wise person trusts in the Lord, and a fool trusts in his own thinking, his own feelings, his own heart. You know, he thinks he knows and has understanding, and that his feelings are true. He's walking by feelings and emotions. Whatever they believe in their own heart, they think is the correct way. But you know, basically the Bible says here they're demonstrating their foolishness. You know, this is prevalent in our world today. You know, in the postmodern thinking, you know, in postmodern thinking, there's no absolute right or wrong. No morality of right and wrong. You know, whatever you think is right for you. Whatever I think is right for me is right for me. There's no absolutes. It's going by your own feelings and your own thinking. You know, each individual can determine for himself what is appropriate. And we're there today. You know, our passage says, "A fool trusts in his own heart." That's foolishness, to trust in your own ways, your own feelings, your own thinking. You know, a foolish person also, he resists the Lord. A fool in his pride resists the Lord. You know, Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless." You see, a wise man is cautious and he turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. In Proverbs 19:3, it says, "The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord." You know, a foolish man, again, he wants his own way. He rages against the Lord, but it ruins his own way because of his foolishness. The foolish person resists and rejects the Lord for his life. In their arrogance and their self-confidence, it says here, they rage against the Lord. Rage, again, in the Hebrew, it's zafa, and it means to be enraged or angry. It's literally what he's saying here. This person does not fear the Lord, and they do not sense really any accountability to him. They rage against him. They think they know what is they're doing, and they resist the Lord. They rage against him. They're right. You know, as we've learned earlier, a foolish person really hates knowledge. You know, Proverbs 1:22 says, "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded?" You know, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. You know, fools do not pursue the truth. Fools don't pursue understanding. They don't pursue knowledge. They do not want to hear the wisdom of God. You know, their pride keeps them from wisdom. But, you know, notice there it says, "Oh, naive ones and simple-minded." You know, we talked a little bit about that last week. Our goal should not to be simple-minded, to just be naive. Our goal should be to grow in God's wisdom and to be knowledgeable of his ways and not to be naive and just simple-minded. You know, but a fool believe they're right and they do not need to respond to correction. They trust in their own heart and they resist the Lord on every hand. They hate truth and they hate knowledge. That's the fool. May it not be said of us that we be foolish. You know, we should not remain simple-minded, but we should search for and live out the Lord's wisdom. And that's what I'm hoping we're doing in this study of Proverbs, that we're going to take issues of pride and how to spend our time and how to spend our money and how to deal with relationships and how to deal with marriage and children and all these things that Proverbs gives us wisdom, that we're not foolish, that we honor the Lord with the way we live. And that contrast between being a fool and being wise, that's the contrast we see in Proverbs. So we're going to have to quit there. But next week, I want to continue a little bit about on the contrast again on the wise and the fool, especially when it comes to speech. I wanted to deal with, you know, the way we speak gives evidence of what's in our heart. You know, Matthew 12:34 says, "For the mouth speaks of that which fills the heart." But a foolish person does not deal with that because out of their heart, it's just self-focus and pride. But the wise person thinks about the way he speaks and the way he lives and the things that he says and does. But that's our goal. I pray and hope that we, through this, we learn how to be a wise, godly people. And again, there's no honor or pride in getting old and being foolish. I don't want to be said that about us, that when we get old, we're wise people. And people would come to you and say, "I need counsel. I need wisdom. Help me with this." I pray that we could be that kind of people, a wise people that can share the word of God and have wisdom to do that. That's our goal, that we be wise. And like I said, just growing old does not give us wisdom. And what a shame to grow old and be a foolish person. May it not be said of us. Any comments? Let's close in prayer.